This is Unleashing Your Great Work, a podcast about doing the work that matters the most to you. I'm Dr. Amanda Kroll, a cognitive psychologist and the author of the book, Great Work. Every week on this podcast, we make bold plans and we take small steps, all so we can build a life that's powered by your great work. Welcome everybody to Unleashing Your Great Work. Today, I am so excited to have Ha Nguyen on the podcast.
Hello.
He's waving. Are you ready to elevate your organization to new heights? Their unique perspective leverages the power of storytelling to inspire, motivate, and transform. Being a husband to an amazing woman who pushes him to grow with every sunrise and a father to three incredible children fills his heart with a joy that fuels his journey. His journey began with a deep desire to make a difference. Early on, he realized that the most powerful change starts within. This ignited a passion for exploration, leading him down paths he never imagined. Ha, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast.
Amanda, I'm so excited to see you and joining your podcast as a guest.
Yeah, I'm excited because I was actually on your podcast. And I have to say, Ha, this is not me being overblown. It was one of the most authentic conversations I've had on a podcast in a really long time. Most of the time, I do a lot of podcast interviews, I feel like the questions are all the same, the answers are all the same. And it's good and I love it. But we really went to some unusual and interesting places. I really want to thank you for that.
And the honor is mine. I think it's that each of us has a story to tell people, right? And then my podcast is designed to have the world know your stories. And it's an amazing conversation that we had. And I really love it.
Yeah, me too. And today we get to hear your story, which is, I think, turnabout is fair play, as they say. So, Ha, tell us a little bit about your great work.
Well, I think great work comes at any moment in life, Amanda. I think this conversation is also an opportunity for us to show our great works, right? Mm. And it's a very, very, very hard question for me to answer. So I wanted to start small, okay, and then go to the big ones. I think it's a couple of years ago, 4 years ago, you know, when the world is in the crisis of global pandemic, right? Yeah. So I sat at the office, and that is the last day that our office was open before, you know, we got locked down everywhere. So at that moment, something came up to my mind because I wanted to, you know, meet people. I wanted to do something well for myself and for the people around me, right? And the next 2 months seems to be that we couldn't go out, couldn't do anything. So what is that my wife and I will be able to do so that we can inject some positivity to the lives of people around us? And as a runner, we always enjoy, and you know, as runners, right, my wife and I always enjoy listening to conversation, reading books, listening to podcasts and stuff like that. So we say, okay, if Amanda could connect to so many people, amazing people out there, or any other podcaster, famous podcaster can do that kind of job, how could we do that? How could we interview other people? How could we bring their stories to share with other people, you know, and then, you know, whoever listened to the conversation will be able to, you know, pick something to reflect, to think, to learn, and to grow despite the current challenge with the global pandemic. And that set the whole journey for us over the past 4 years to travel the world, to meet a lot of amazing people, you included. And we've been interviewed over 1,000, close to 1,200 people in the past 4 years in 83 countries. And you know what, Amanda? We've been able to do a lot of business opportunities and, you know, like consulting, speaking engagements, and a lot of beautiful things beyond our imaginations. And, all that's great work to us, you know, in the afternoon of that particular day before the country got locked down.
That's really interesting. So what do you feel like is maybe the biggest lesson you've gotten across these 1,200 interviews that you've done? Has there been a theme that you feel like has impacted your life or driven you forward or helped you see the world in a different way?
The lessons are so many. So I pick a few, okay?
Mm-hmm.
One is thinking, because we've been, you know, throughout the conversation, we always ended up with asking, and if you remember about that, I also asked you, how have you been growing your ability to think? Because deep down inside of us, we believe that there's so many things that impacting our ability to things these days, right? So if we can pick the secrets that people can learn from, you know, the way Amanda is thinking, the way she expands her ability to think over the years, and they can, instead of inventing something new, they can just practice that, can learn from your secrets, right? And then that can help them expand their ability to think. And from there, maybe something good can happen in their lives. And that is something that we want to do through our what we call great work, right? The second thing is, I think that it gives us hopes that the world is so beautiful. People, great people, always there, ready to help, ready to, you know, join and share their stories, share their wisdom to help others to grow. So we want to start that conversation first, that, you know, small baby steps to leading the way for the generation in this part of the world to be more confident in what they do. And if set the goal that, you know, if we can do the job to interview over 1,200 people in 83 countries, maybe they could do that. They could interview 200, you know, countries, people, you know, 2,000 people in 200 countries in 2 years. You know, like if they set the goal down, they can do that. And the last one that I think is that the learning is tremendous. You know, we've been, you know, I think that we've been learning the wisdom from a lot of people joining our show, sharing their life stories, and we see so many beautiful things. So those are endless stories that my wife and I will be able to write when we get older and share those stories to our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our community, and the people that we'll be able to reach out to through our works.
That's really lovely. So I'm curious about, you know, it makes sense that in the middle of a pandemic, the desire to connect with people when we were all feeling like there was this chance that it would be so isolating and we wouldn't be able to connect with the people we're used to connecting with in the same way. But I'm curious if there's an earlier start to this story, like when you were a kid or when you went to university, like, have you always been somebody who seeks wisdom from others? Or was there a time when you realized, you know, I need to seek more wisdom? Like, where did this start for you?
I think I was a kid born with curiosity inside of me. And so my family, we grew up in very poor community in the middle of the country. And when I was little, my mom and my father were just general, like engineers. So they work in the factory. So they have, you know, like not middle income, the one that under middle income a little bit, but above income, okay? Mm-hmm. But they have education. And they always wanted, they always had a dream that they're going to send me and my sister to the U.S. for education. Mm. And everybody in the community said, these two, and, you know, like husband and wife, they're all crazy because they could not afford a good life. How could they think of, you know, sending out, you know, their children to the U.S.? And later on in life, you know, I went to the U.S. for education. I worked there. I went for a higher education. We traveled the world. And thanks to my parents for that curiosity. And but in between, I grew up the curiosity in my way also because there's a lot of restrictions in this country. There's a lot of, you know, like traditional way of thinking here. So parents tell children what to do, what needs to be done, and teacher tell you what needs to be done instead of letting you have the curiosity, leading the way, letting you to think in your way, right? So I always challenge that assumption. Why do we have to do these kind of things? Can we do something differently? How could we do things differently? And I always got into trouble. And I always got trouble from, you know, like I got in trouble from when I was little up until university time. And I think those troubles give me the strength to continue to exploring the world, exploring opportunities, knowing our strength, knowing the weaknesses also is important. And it helped me to run the curiosity within myself for that long up until today.
Where did you go to school in the U.S.?
I went first to San Francisco. So I studied at community college there. And I think that was the most beautiful gift that my parents gave me. And I think it's also the biggest lesson in life for me that paved the way for me to go back to Vietnam. And with respect to the people there, when I came to the U.S., I stayed at the family in the Vietnamese communities, right? So back in the 2000s, so there was very, very small number of international students from Vietnam to the US. Mm. So when there, you have to stay with the host family. And my parents will comfortably send me to the host family who is Vietnamese, right? So it's a culture less different and opportunity for me to get help when I need it, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when I first came, I saw the values are totally different from that day, from that community that I've been associated with at that time only, okay? And the values that I want to pursue. So I remember that day was the 25th of December in 2001.
Wow.
And that is right in the Christmas time. So yeah. Your beautiful home in Vietnam, you left your friends and everybody at home, and you came to the country on Christmas Day. So there's a lot of emotion there.
Wow.
And on that day, when I see the values totally clashed, I say, okay, I'm not going to leave here. I'm not going to leave in this community. I want to go back to my country or somewhere that I feel more belonging, or I feel more like the value might maybe more aligned, right? Mm. And little to what I know, 10 years later, I took my family back to Vietnam, took my daughter to Vietnam also, and grow her up in Asia culture ever since. So now she's back to the US for school, and we're traveling around the world. And I got a chance to meet her also. So I think it's, so that's a story.
That's so interesting. So originally, when you lived in Vietnam before you had come to the US, you felt like, I'm so different. I'm the curious one. I'm getting in all of this trouble. Then you went to the US and realized, oh, I am Vietnamese and I can bring this wisdom back to my home country. Am I hearing that correctly?
Correct.
That's yes. So, what a massive perspective shift from feeling like an outsider and different to feeling like, no, this is my home and I can bring such a great gift back to my home.
There's a few things. One is one of the reasons why that we want to go back was because of the our daughter. So yeah. We had our daughter in 2005, and I want her to have the right kind of identity.
Hmm.
So, and my wife and I decided to okay. So if we grow up in the US, or should we, you know, have her start in her life and school year in Vietnam. So we decided to bring her to Vietnam. And one of the motivation was my father used to run factories in Vietnam. So making shoes and outsource shoes for a lot of international companies. And when I was little, I saw a lot of foreigners coming to my country, and they teach English. They teach people how to do things in the right way and stuff. And I say, okay, if these people were able to go to my country and successfully, doing it there, build the legacy there, what about us? We can go back to our own country and we can contribute our ability and our willing to do something great, the great work for the people here also. So that drives us every single day, until one day, that's the day, Amanda, that we decided to go back. And this year is my 14 years going back. And July was the month that we decided to move down.
Oh, wow. It.
Yeah.
That's kind of an anniversary of your return.
Yeah.
That's really great. When you, I'm not sure, when you came to the US from Vietnam, was anybody like having feelings about the war? Did people bring that up to you, or had it sort of been washed clean? And like, what was it like to come to the US in particular from Vietnam when, I think most Americans only know that there was a war in Vietnam. That's everything they know about Vietnam. What was that like for you as a young man to come? I mean, San Francisco, I think there are a lot of Asian people in San Francisco, but you're saying not that many Vietnamese.
So there's a lot of Vietnamese in San Francisco, in Oakland, in Alameda, in San Jose. Okay. It's a big Vietnamese, right?
Just not at your school.
There's also a lot of Vietnamese in my school also. With respect to the Vietnamese friends and people I know over there, I think they have the reason to dislike the country because left the country in 1975 with so many differences, right? So when you're in this side, you have this side of the story. And when you're in this side, you have this side of the story. So, and that's the power of storytelling anyway. And that's facts, that's the world, right? And I look forward in a positive way is that now, that hatred, that disagreement, that thing is no longer exist. in many, many, many people. I think the two countries shake hands to grow up the relationship. And you see there's a lot of beautiful investment, beautiful commitment between the two countries here. And I see a lot of Vietnamese people, overseas Vietnamese people also coming to Vietnam for living, for contributing also. At the end of the day, you want to go back to, you know, where you feel like you like most, right? And you want to contribute to, you know, what you can do best. So it's up to the people, you know, like my daughter, she's young, she grew up in Vietnam, but she wants to go to the U.S. to live. So and I say, okay, go there, study and live. And if one day you find any other countries in the world that made you happy, joy, stay, and that's important in life. And that could be her great work also to find out that what is that that make her happy to live, right?
Yeah, for sure. Wow, what a great story. So when you returned to Vietnam with the idea of giving back to your home country and contributing there, what is the, how would you name the contribution that you're attempting to make? Like, what is the thing you're building? What's the change you're forming in your hands like clay?
Earlier in this conversation, I mentioned with you about knowing yourself, right? Strength, weaknesses, right? And that's very important for us to, and for our your audience to know that, to figure out the strength that they have inside of them, also the weaknesses, right? And when I first came to Vietnam, I had no job. I had no knowledge about the country in terms of the business because I left the country when I was in school. So I have no idea. I also came back to the biggest city in Vietnam where I had no relationship, no friends, no nothing. And the reason, one of the reasons also why we have to go back on that particular time because like online interview wasn't ready back then. So in 2011, right, Amanda, if you interview for a job, you have to be there and the people person has you in person. And we studied in the US, we had a few years working over there, but the people say, okay, and they don't hire by potential, they hire by the experience back then, right? Had zero everything, zero people, we know zero knowledge about the industries, nothing. So if you ask me back then, what is it that we think that we could contribute, what's a great, what we could contribute? I think it's all coming from knowing our strengths, knowing that we have that capacity to do something good and we figure it out. And also knowing our weaknesses so that we're going to improve our weakness day in, day out, so that we can leverage the strength and minimize the weakness. That is where we can penetrate onto the market faster, and starting to grow in certain area of the domains of expertise. By then, perhaps we'll be able to do something great for ourselves and can, you know, start to contribute back. So so that's, we start everything with that belief. And the whole family here was like so ready for us to fail. Everybody, every friends in the US was so ready for us to fail and come back. Even my CEO back then in the US said, okay, hi, go there for 1 year and you fail, you go back here. We have a job for you always. And where we make it out every day that, you know, we want to be successful. We want to be able to leave a legacy here. We want to be able to show, to share what we could do with other people here. And that, now we can call it a purpose, it's a callings and stuff like that. And back then we didn't even know that's a purpose, right? So that is something that we need to do every single day. That's it.
Wow. That's a lot of naysaying to have people saying, oh, we know you're going to fail, but you were like, nope, I'm doing it. Like, that's a lot of courage of your conviction. I feel like listening to your story, that's been a big thread going through it, is it's like, you were getting in trouble for having too many questions. And you're like, well, I'll just keep asking questions. You go to the US and you're like, whoa, this is a lot. And you stay for 10 years. Then you decide you're going to move back to Vietnam. And people are like, you're going to fail. And you're like, see you later. It's like, you really know you have a lot of strength of character, it seems.
Amanda, thank you very much for saying that. And for the summary, beautiful summary. I think that, if you call it strength, I call it that we want to do an example for our children. So we don't set goals too big for other people to look at us, but I think that life is not easy. Yeah. And we are the closest person to our children. So we can walk that journey. We can take on the new challenges, the bigger goals and the bigger goals. And we are conquer one at a time like that. So it gives them the confidence, right? That one day they'll be able to do it themselves. That one day they'll be able to, you know, like if they're tired, they can rest, but they can gonna continue to walk the path that they chose to walk. And that's important in life.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense to me. And I really appreciate, it starts to make sense to me how that day in 2020, where you thought, what I'm going to do, you know, as you've been looking around at the world and trying to figure out how can I give the best possible example to my children? Where can I look for the best possible advice? And it seems like you're sort of curious and committed to exploring the idea of like, how do I know myself? How do I know my strengths? How do I know my weaknesses? How can I channel my attention? How can I learn what I need to learn? Like those seem to be the questions that move you. So it makes a lot of sense to me that in 2020, you were like, let me make it my business to talk to these global voices and pull their wisdom from and what they have to share.
Yeah. And I think that your audience, each of your audience, we have the calling inside of them to do the great work that they desire to do, right?
Yeah.
All they do is to really, really sit down in a quiet place. Because the world is so noisy. There's so many naysayers around, right?
Yeah.
So they sit down, have a cup of coffee or something that they really enjoy having and having that little reward for themselves. And by asking those big questions and really, really, really asking those big questions in the brain, our beautiful brain here will help them to start to get the answer that they've been looking for, they're longing for, right? The rest of them, what they're going to do with that. That's it.
Yeah. And that's a lot, actually. It's a challenge. I think it's hard for people to quiet their minds enough to hear what they think, what they themselves think. And then once they do know what they think their great work might be, it takes a lot of courage to act on it because of the naysayers who are like, you shouldn't stop being a lawyer and write fiction instead. I mean, I'm not saying all great work is a big pivot. Sometimes it isn't. But there's everybody I've talked to who does really amazing, great work has a moment where the world tells them, no, don't do that. And they are the ones who have to say, okay, bye. Kind of like you did, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, that's hard. I think it's really hard, especially, you know, when you want to be a good role model and you want to make people proud, you know, it's easy to listen to the voice of others. And it's kind of hard to listen to the voice of yourself. So I think it is a question worth exploring through 1,200 interviews on your podcast.
And I think, Amanda, is also beautiful that this program that we've been doing, we've been able to share people's hopes, right? We're able to elevate with people, to help people to see the potential, see opportunities, less of them saying no, more of them saying yes, right? And you know, those conversations like you did with your guests on your show, or I did with my guests on my show, we tell people a lot of wisdom, a lot of story in their lives that, you know, if the people ready to really make themselves available to listen and to reflect, to think and find something worth to apply. That's find something worth to make action is important.
100%. What do you wish for Vietnam? Now that you've been back for, you said 14 years and you've been an adult. What'd you say?
14 years.
14 years. And now you've been an adult and an entrepreneur and you've been successful and you've lived in both the middle of the country, which I assume is sort of more rural, and in a big city. You know your country as an adult now. What do you hope for your people, for your country?
Have more courage to exploring the world, exploring opportunities. Our country is in the at the stage to, you know, really, really got the lucky off and, you know, a lot of investment coming to this country. So opportunity is there. Everything's there, ready. I just want the people to be able to leverage those opportunities a little bit more, to have the curiosity to see, okay, what can they do more from that? What can they contribute more than that? And that's the last thing that I think I want to hope for the audience in my country, those senior leaders, that I always talk to them a lot about this one that I want them to do is I want them to have their legacy, their impact earlier. Because over the past 14 years, I've been talking a lot with senior leaders on how they can join together to create their great works together when they're still having the title, the big impact. And, you know, when you work for corporations, there's a lot of regulations that, you know, you or me, you know, can or cannot do, right? Those are limitations, but they're always having ways for us to work around that. As long as you have the courage to ask for exceptions or to ask for a different way to do that. So I hope that leaders, they don't have to wait until they retire. They don't have to wait until they, you know, like, you know, a certain age for them to do that. They can do it now. They can do the impact. They can leave the legacy. They can do their great works today, now.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I think senior leaders in Vietnam, you should listen, and so should almost everyone else. Everybody is waiting to be ready. There's no such thing as ready. They're waiting to be safe. There's no such thing as safe. They're waiting to have a guarantee of success. There is no, it's an illusion. We all, like, the only option really is to get into the action, start paving the road in front of you, bringing the community together to support you, to find your way through the, you know, when it does get rocky or when it gets, you know, confusing, and just to get to doing it. Because I do think that a lot of people are sitting around thinking someday, and of course, tragically, you might not get that someday, but less tragically, but still true, what if you do it and then you don't have really any time to appreciate it and think what you could have done if you started earlier? I could not agree with you more, is my point.
Thank you.
I love that. So, I believe that you and your wife are working on a book. Would you like to tell us about that book? Because I believe you mentioned it in a link. We're LinkedIn friends, for those of you who are wondering. And I know you were talking about, you know, getting ready to share it. Tell us a little bit about the book that you're working on.
Actually, the book, we just published that book in July 1st.
Oh.
And so, yes. And it took us about 14 days to write that kind of that book. And I'll tell you the story, and I think this story for our audience in terms of the action we can take, right? So my youngest daughter, she was born so she's now 13 years old, so in middle school, and at that age, you know, she also a curious child, so she got into trouble. She and her friend was yelling at other friends. So I was working one day in one morning, beautiful morning, and about to have a client meeting. So my wife called, and my wife was on her business trip. So we said, okay, are you in Ho Chi Minh City? So where I work. And I said, yes, I am. They say, okay, can you come to your daughter's school? I say, of course I can. When? She said, now. And I say, well, anything happens? They say, well, I'll brief you on the way. So I talked to my colleague and I say, okay, can you handle the meeting? Then I need to go. And I text the client and say, okay, I'll treat you a cup of coffee at later time for this. I have a person, you know, the family issue. And there was a room, a small room, and 6 kids together, 12 parents together, 2 teachers. So you see all the noise is in there. So one blame for each and the next person, why this kid's doing this, that kid doing that. And of course, my daughter yelling at other kids, so she has 4. So we were thinking about what is that we are going to do with her, okay? Are we going to give her, you know, like her own time for cooling down, or, you know, we tell her to stay in her room, or what is that we could do for her? But if we do all the kind of things like that, we are no different, okay? We are no different than other parents out there, and we want to do something that she remember for her lesson in life. So that night, I talked to my wife. I said, okay, why don't we think of something different to educate our daughter? And, you know, the next time that she got into trouble, instead of, you know, thinking and doing as the way other people do, maybe she can do something differently. Maybe that lesson can have more impact. Right? And we said, okay, we're going to write a book. And the book title is The World is Too Noisy. Yelling is not going to make any sense. Yelling is not a waste of time for yelling. So that is in Vietnamese. At the same time, we want to write in 14 days so that it can test our capacity with busyness. Can we squeeze the time to do something that important? So it becoming a compound effects for teaching our daughter, teaching my son, teaching, you know, or sharing with other people that you can always do something that you set out to do, right? Mm-hmm. And then we couldn't do it in 14 days. We did it in 16 days.
So okay.
We were confident of our capacity, but, you know, we couldn't finish it in 14 days. We make it in 16 days. So in that book, we tell stories about amazing people. We had a chance to interview on our show, like the first superintendent woman that leading the U.S. U.S. Postal Guard Academy. Her name is Sandra Stoth, the one that we got the chance to interview not once but twice in our show. So she's the highest person in the military ranking in terms of academic. We interviewed the world record, the Guinness World Record of mountaineers. So her name is Jen Drummond. And then we also interviewed, you know, we share stories of how these amazing people becoming great, not because of the alienated situation, not because of they make noise of what they want to do, but because of they chose not to say anything they do and let the results speak itself, right? And on that one, I also share the model of love, we call love model, which is, you know, you love yourself. You love yourself. You're better than that. You're better than complaining. You're better than any negative feeling that runs into your head. First, loving yourself, right? When you love yourself, then, you know, the rest is, you know how to figure it out yourself. And we published that and we donate the money to build a small church community. And the beautiful one, another beautiful thing I want to share with your audience in here is that we also interview and General Charlie Duke. So he's one of the 12 men ever walked on the moon.
Oh,
so
wow.
He's an astronaut out of the 12 men that walked on the moon. And he went there on the mission, Apollo mission 16. He's the first man ever drive the rover on the moon.
Wow.
And the world know Neil Armstrong as the first person on the moon, right? Landing on the moon. Neil was on the moon, but the control mission center on the ground was controlled by Charlie Duke. Okay,
whoa.
So he also, with his wife, donated the money with us to build that church. And the church is very small and in a very poor village where my mom grew up.
Aww.
Yeah, so we donated the money for them to build the new church. And the new church is about to finish in about 4 months' time. So I think it's the way we want to do. Quite great work, if we can call it.
Oh, wow. Well, that's such a lovely story and such a great example of just what you said, which is stop yelling and just start doing it and let your actions speak for you. That's a bit of a mic drop moment there. I like it. It's very good. And did you also grow up in the village? Where is this? When I was on your podcast, you told me a story about how in your village in Vietnam, half of the village had power each night. And on the nights when you didn't have power, you would look at the moon. And I've thought about that so many times, just lying there, no power, just staring at a full moon. Like, what an evocative image that is. Is this the same village that you also grew up in, where you built the church?
No. Oh. The church was farther from that village. So poor.
Okay.
So that was where my mom grew up. So my mom grew up in that village.
Yeah.
And she moved to my village. So where she met my father and gave birth to me, right? So my village was poor. Her was poorer.
Okay. Wow. Well, I'm so glad we had this conversation for my own self to get to know you better and learn about what you're doing and the importance of the work that you're doing. And to understand a little bit more what I'm seeing on LinkedIn and what you're posting and sharing about. But also, I'd really love to put a link to the book that you wrote in the show notes so that people can buy the book. And can we get it on Amazon in the US? Is that where it is?
I am very happy to share the ebook for the audience if they want to, because we got to the number of books sold already. We're happy with the number. Now, the rest of that, we give it for free.
Okay. So you'll give me a link to the book. Is it translated to English?
It's in Vietnamese, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, either way, give me the link. I will do my, maybe I'll just do a Google Translate or something. I think it sounds great. And I hope that you'll share with us any new things that you're doing, because I know I would love to support your work. And I'm sure that other people are just as moved as I am after this conversation.
Thank you very much. Right now, I'm working for a company called Leaders, Great Leaders. So I'm the chief growth officer. So my goal is to bring this boutique company to international markets.
Okay.
So we have a lot of successful stories with Asia, and we want to go to the Western. So if your audience and you, Amanda, if you have any friends, any leaders in your network that you think, okay, can give that little heart and his, friends, you know, a support for them on the journey to go into international market, that would be wonderful. And the second one is I founded a platform called Hello Newness. Okay.
Oh, Hello Newness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Hello Newness. So that was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. That was a Sunday and I couldn't read books. So normally reading book is really enjoyable for me. And that particular day I couldn't read book. So I asked myself what was in my head that distracted me so badly. And I'm not sure if you've been reading the book called The Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert.
Oh, yeah, I love that book.
Yes. So that book say about idea, right? So that particular day, I had the idea of doing something and Hello Newness was the idea. So I want to introduce people the concept of celebrating newness in life. Like 4 years ago when we started the program, I had the belief that we could do something new, could be something challenging, could be something that joyful and be impactful for other people also. That's newness, right? Mm-hmm. Life, Amanda, you know, there's a lot of new things that you create alongside with the current existing one, right? Those are new things that the thing that make you exciting, happy. Mm-hmm. We want other people to have that mindset, have that kind of thinking for them to celebrate more of the new things in life.
Love
the
it.
Sunrise every day, an opportunity to rewrite something new.
Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. I know it's quite late where you are in Vietnam. So thank you for making the time to talk to this community. I will put all the links into the show notes and hopefully we'll be hearing more about Project Newness soon.
Thank you very much, Amanda. Thank you for the opportunity to share our stories with your audience. And I really appreciate that. I wish you all the best and send our love to everyone there.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Unleashing Your Great Work. If this episode sparked something for you, you'll love the Great Work audiobook, narrated by me and now available on Audible. It's the perfect way to go deeper while you walk, drive, or just take a breath. Search Great Work by Amanda Crowell on Audible or grab the link from the show notes below. And if you're enjoying this show, follow it, rate it, and review it. It really helps more people find their great work.